97.5, The Fanatic.
Afternoon, everyone. I had to look at the clock to make sure I knew what time it was. Time gets away from us these days. I am Dee Lynam, and I am correct. It is Sunday afternoon, to be exact, following the great Joe Stazek here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And we'll just have some conversation, talk some about sports, some about what you're doing with life. I'd like to give a shout out. Usually, if I find something in the last 24 hours, because this is my third day in a row here, and I know that we support the small business person if we can right now. So I did not have coffee yesterday because where I normally go has been shut down, and so I didn't know where to go. And today, in my neighborhood, a place called Ants Pants, which I do love their food, they have the front window that they can slide open. People can sit at a little counter looking out on the street. And so they decided that they would serve takeout through that open window, which was a great idea. And so I walked over and could keep my 6 feet there. They made me a latte, and so happy I am. So just people who are being creative in a time when there's not a lot of people out, which is the right thing. There's some people out running or walking. I saw that on the path again. I saw that West River Drive is closed, so there were some people out there biking. So that normal weekend activity is happening. And this morning, I should say, I was watching Inside Golf, which was obviously previously recorded, but it was an excellent interview with Jay Siegel. Man, what a career that guy has had. And it got me thinking, that guy played on 9 Walker Cups. And for somebody out there who isn't familiar with the Walker Cup, it's the amateur version of the Ryder Cup. And 3 of his times that he played, he was a playing captain. So anyhow, it just got me thinking that in addition to missing watching sports, I wonder what out there you're missing maybe playing. And I'm not saying that, you know, we're all these elite athletes, but for instance, I miss playing golf, of course. And you might miss playing your weekly pickup game at the Y, or if you're in a adult softball league. Like, all of these things I cannot believe, but they are affected. You cannot gather at a park right now. And so I was just thinking about, when I was listening to that interview, maybe people could share, one, you know, what is that sporting activity you participate, because that's been taken probably from you as well. I mean, really, the people who are benefiting most right now in terms of their hobby are the ones that play video games. Because, Dylan, I see it with my kids. People say, how are your kids, you know, being, because they're in the house? Honestly, I don't see how their life has been that much interrupted, because they still talk to all their friends, and they've actually added more to, like, I bought for my one son could play, he has a PC. The other one, I guess, I don't know what it's called he had, but I had to buy him online so that he could participate with the others, because he couldn't do that. I don't even know what I bought, PlayStation something.
Some of us have been practicing social distancing for a long time.
Exactly.
Some of us are experts.
I know. Some guy said to me yesterday, you know, be safe and, you know, don't get too close to people or something. I said, you know, I'm not the warm and fuzzy type anyhow, so this is less of a problem for me. Yeah, I hear you, Dylan. But when I was just listening to that interview, it just made me, it took me back to, wow. Not only are we not seeing sports, and I so enjoy, please, if you can look at today's paper, there's some great writing, and I'm so impressed with things that people are coming up with, but 2 jumped out at me today. One was an article by Mike Sielski in the Philadelphia Inquirer, and it's so well done, because it's written in the first-person voice of Greg Downer, who coached Kobe at Lower Merion. But clearly, Sielski helped. He took helped him write in his first person. And for two reasons, it is so good to read. It was talking about, Greg grew up here. I didn't know he was from Media, which is where my parents live. So it talked about all these sporting events that he has taken in his own life, some of them in person, some of them on TV. And then, you know, it goes forward to even looking how he was so looking forward to being at the Naismith Hall of Fame inductions this coming fall, where Kobe will go in. And he would have been there, and being able to sit there as a kid who grew up in Media and realize he coached in high school, one of the greatest to ever be basketball-wise. And, you know, that's not going to happen. And now you, in another part of the article, he's flying back from having been at the memorial at the Staples Center. And for somebody who's so enamored with basketball in general, how he called it the Mount Rushmore, or how much basketball was in that building, how much basketball experience was in that building. And had it been for any other reason, you know, it was just so amazing. And he called it a dream on one hand and the worst nightmare on the other, just to be in the presence of those people. It's such a good read. I so recommend it. And then the other one was written by Bob Ford, which I was so glad I read this, because it talked about the activity that has happened in the NFL all this week. So not just the Eagles, but the movement. And really, when he lays it out, the movement of quarterbacks and, you know, I forget, he even said, like, that if you were to tell him that the starting quarterback of the Patriots, I didn't even know the guy's name on paper right now, that you would have said, what's going on? But he also said, in this time, when people are dealing with this coronavirus crisis, that people can be a little more daring or to do a move that might be criticized greater in other times, but won't be criticized, and use the departure of Malcolm Jenkins as one of them, that it didn't come with great, you know, people weren't so mad. And he said, you know, had it been different, I'm, because you're worrying about other things more so. So your priority list has dropped. And it was the same thing yesterday when I had Keith Pompey on of the Philadelphia Inquirer, and he was talking about his mailbag articles that he writes. And the question of will Brett Brown still be here after this season, if in fact they don't play a season in particular, or, you know, pick it up, if it has to end, what will happen? And Keith's point was, you just don't hear the outcry anymore. I mean, it is what it is. Yes, they would finish as a sixth seed, but he wouldn't have been able to play it out. And the outcry is diminished because there's other things that people are thinking and talking about. And so those two articles today in the Philadelphia Inquirer were fun to read. And if you're wanting to just catch up on a local reading, I highly recommend. And then, you know, the moves that the Eagles have made, everybody weighed in, or different writers weighed in, thumbs up, thumbs down, mostly thumbs up. Good article about the local guy, Will Park. I might get my friend Rob Kessner to call in and see. He did a piece last summer that included an interview with Will Parks, because obviously he's a local guy. And so I like people, and obviously there are people in this town who probably know him well, because he played, or he went to high school at Germantown High School, and then Arizona, I think. Yeah. Did he go to Arizona? Was it with his college, I think? And then his 4 years at Denver as a safety. So that is one of the moves, but that's, you know, making judgments of how are the Eagles doing thus far in free agency and in planning for the draft. And, yeah, some people are critical because they want to see bigger and more. Am I right that he played his college at Arizona?
Yes, he went to Arizona.
I thought so. What do you think, Dylan? Are they being strong enough for you with what they've done, or you'd like to see bigger and better, or you expect that they will be bigger and better?
I really like the moves they've made so far. I think the defense has gotten much better. I love Darius Slay was a great addition. I think Will Park is also a really good addition. He's not going to be the big impact guy, but it's a nice insurance to have at safety since now they don't have Malcolm Jenkins. And I really loved the Javon Hargrave signing just because you can't have enough defensive tackle.
Exactly.
That's basically where the pass rush is going now, is through the middle.
Right. I saw a good interview with him on TV. He seems like a good guy, too. At least, you know how when a guy is interviewed, it's hard to, or you kind of make your first impression judgment of him. He seemed like a really good guy. So I always like that, too. If you bring a little personality to it. Because we usually, you know, you hear from the quarterback, which, by the way, we did hear from Carson Wentz yesterday. And I think people like hearing from him, like knowing he just seemed upbeat. And he was talking about just working out in his own house because that's what we were just saying when Joe Stazak was leaving. And I said, the two sports, you know, NHL and NBA, that will have the decision if they continue. And I imagine whatever one does, whoever makes that decision first, the other will follow. But to me, hockey has the hardest. Those guys can't stay. If you can't skate, that conditioning is just so different than anything you could do as a workout person in your house. And then all those places are closed. You cannot skate at this time. I mean, there was a great video of Zach LaVine yesterday. He has a full court in his backyard. Now, whether it's the legal full court size, but you could see the two baskets. And he was playing one-on-one against his dog, which was great because he had his dog, as I said, his dog was so good laterally that he had to, like, cross him over a couple times. Now, he could bounce over the dog. Then the dog jumped, and then he would, like, pull up for a jumper. But I was thinking to myself, pretty good workout for the guy. I don't know how long he was doing it, but it was creative. But in terms of your skating, yeah, I think it's hard to duplicate that. We hear people in basketball, Joel always says, coming back from injury, you know, it's not the same, whatever his conditioning is. It's just not, you can't mimic going up and down the court. And so I think that will be the biggest factor of what plays into those two sports making a decision to resume or not resume. And I thought in the article yesterday where Adam Silver did talk to the Associated Press, and he said, you know, it's too early to call. But when you start listening to the factors in, and I know at the end that you're trying to recoup some of the money lost, but I don't know how you can do that without then running into your next season and jeopardizing that season as well, unless in this time that you are, you know, doing things, you are actually coming up with a plan that alters not just this, but next. But by doing both of them, altering both of them, that's the best financial decision you can do to recoup as best you can. And so instead of it being a plan that is just about resuming this season, you are figuring that out with how you would then go and have next season as well. And I don't think that means crushing everything. I think it just means altering it over the time that you're given, where this is what you have, this is when you could start. And if that's, you know, June, okay, do you now do something for the next year and a half type of thing? But building availability will become part of it. Contracts, you know, at some point, you know, all those contracts for this year for the NBA, that is June 30th, they're up. So that factors in also. If you're going to start another part of, if this season goes extensively beyond that, you're dealing, how do you deal with the free agents on your current roster? That's difficult and one that you have to think about. And so, but that's what lawyers and / agents and smart people have to figure out before you would think about, if you have a calendar that you can put together, then you have to think legally, how do you do this with the players on a roster where some of them would become free agents? So I don't know if you then do some kind of extension, given the pay that they have, and pay them till the end of that season on your free agents only. Everybody else, if you're under contract, you're under contract. You can get it that way. I don't know. Maybe Joe has a thought. Joe's going to join us from Mayfair. Joe, what's going on? And thank you for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, Dave. Pleasure to listen to you all weekend long. Hope you and your family are safe.
Thank you. I appreciate it. The same to you.
Yeah, but curious, because people keep talking about, you know, NBA and NHL playoffs existing. It's very difficult to even coordinate that. A lot of teams share the same rink or the court, air flights, hotels.
Oh, right. Yeah. I hear you. Because, meaning if both of them are condensed.
Correct.
Yep.
You know, when you start, I mean, they would have to coordinate together.
They
in,
would.
In a short period of time. Yeah. I mean, NHL free agency starts on an X day.
Yep.
Like you were just saying, it just took my point. And so is NBA. So is everything on halt now where everything gets pushed back? Is everything retroactive?
What people don't realize is the legal / financial ramifications is really where you have to start when you're given a date that there is clearance. You know, right now you can't even predict what you could possibly do in terms of a start date to then figure out what you would do, like you're saying, with those dates of free agency and whatnot. I mean, that's why it was so amazing that the NFL went ahead with their original dates of, quote, legal tampering, which I think is a great phrase, and their free agent signings, because it allowed them financially to stay in their calendar year, at least for the short term.
Yeah, so NBA free agency is normally, what, July 15th?
They do like what they call that moratorium. So those first 2 weeks of July are where people can explore, and then you do the signings, yes.
Yeah, so now if you have a season extending into August with playoffs, I mean, it's crazy. Do players want to risk an injury that are going to become a free agent?
That's a great point.
There's so many, so many things.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
How would that be any different than being a free agent playing in the, you know, finishing out your season now and playing in the playoffs?
Because it's already over. So if your season's over in June, your contract's over.
I agree with you. That's why I said you would have to give them contracts in the window for the free agents. You'd have to be giving them just for that, though. You know what I'm saying?
So and that the union has to, and they have to work it behind closed doors now as we speak to even think about having some sort of a playoff.
Absolutely.
So I'm with you. What I would do if I were both leagues is I would have, this is out of the norm, I would start next season's early, play two shortened seasons, and have champion versus champion the following offseason, if that makes any sense.
Oh, wow.
So if the NBA had a 50-game schedule, new one, and another 50-game schedule, both champions would play for the real champion for the season, which I think would create tons of people wanting to be involved in that. Two shortened seasons versus restarting this season and then having another season after. I would have two shortened seasons, two playoff rounds, and then have champion versus champion in one full season, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. Which, you know what? First of all, I like that you think outside the box. Second of all, given what Adam Silver had put out there in terms of having a tournament within a season next year, remember, I mean, they talked about that to create more, first of all, there was $1 million on the table for the winners of that. But that would be along those same lines, which he's already thought about. So two shortened seasons to do it like that creates a buzz, number one, and gets you a lot more of your revenue back.
Yeah, especially Vegas's revenue, too, of who wins each championship and who wins the overall. Last thing, Dave, what I think the NBA and the NHL and NFL and MLB are going to have to do is proceeds that entering in the ballpark, entering in for whatever you can, when you're ordering merchandise, has to go into some sort of coronavirus fund for all the businesses or families affected from this. I think that would also do with the fans, if the players, owners, and all of sports gives back to everyone in this country when sports does return, with donating some of their salaries or concessions or parking or whatever. Because you're going to lose fans because they're not going to be able to afford to go to a game, which no one's even talking about as well. Prices are going to come down completely. Contracts are going to come down. That's another story for the day. But the economy in this country is going to bring everyone's paycheck down for a few years. And it's going to be interesting to see how the players are, if they're okay with that as well.
Yep, you got to respond in some way. Joe, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. Have a great rest of your Sunday. That it is true. You know, certainly not at the prices that have been. Can you get people back in buildings? So, yes, being creative and thinking outside the box in terms of how you would play these seasons moving forward with the 2019-20 season included. And, you know, it doesn't have to be an automatic, too much time has passed, we cannot do anything with this season. I mean, that is one of the options, but it doesn't have to be the only option. And so we shall see, for sure. But the dates, the calendar dates, and free agency in particular, impacts a lot of the decisions of how you would resume play or play in the summer into the fall if you are the NHL and the NBA. You know, it's just, you know what else is another thing? And if you had a lengthened season along his same lines, like a mini season that would then determine this year's champion, and I don't know how you abbreviate that, but then instead of having time off per se, you go right into starting your next season without a training camp. You just continue. The only thing with that is there'd be teams that wouldn't be playing in the playoffs, so they would need a training camp. Yeah, I got to rethink that one. All right, well, we're just thinking outside the box right now. I want to go back to my original question because we talk a lot about missing sports in terms of watching them, but I'm wondering what you're missing playing as your, you know, sports hobby that you maybe partake in on a weekly basis. And it's not only, you know, for the exercise, but it's for the socialization. What is it that you were doing that has been removed from your life, at least for the short term or immediate future, for sure? 610-632-0975. I am D. Lynam. Dylan is behind the glass, and we hope you'll join us in the conversation here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Sunday afternoon here at 97.5 The Fanatic. D. Lynam with you until 4 o'clock. Another great day weather-wise outside. I know the temperature has dropped from a couple days ago, but a good day for brisk walk or out on the bike. And I did see on the news, which I hadn't seen previously, reminding people that to exercise is still key. And I guess the point being that when you're in the house, maybe you're not really thinking about that. But I've loved seeing some of the creative things that people are doing, you know, dance parties just to be moving around, taking walks. Obviously, if you have a trail or some open space in your neighborhood, you know, you can do that by yourself and still be social distancing from maybe somebody else that you see on the street. But I have to tell you, I didn't see a lot of people in my neighborhood out and about, which is great. And it becomes kind of peaceful if you want to go out for your, you know, 30-minute walk or whatnot. Not a lot getting in your way. We were talking about not just missing the sports that you attend or watch as a fan, but that maybe you participate in. And that is not just exercise for you, but it's also your social life or part of your social life. And so I was wondering what those activities are and what are you replacing it with right now? So Scott is joining us. Scott, how are you? And thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, I was just talking to the gentleman there, and I'm right there with you as far as missing golf. I had a trip planned to Sarasota and the Siesta Key area down in Florida. Which is absolutely beautiful, and I have two buddies from high school that I go and visit there and play golf with, and I was due to leave this Wednesday, and of course, due to the current situation, that's not going to happen.
No.
So
Scott, it's so funny because yesterday I was saying, like, what's the one last thing you got in before the lockdown? Because even though it's not, every state hasn't locked down yet. I mean, basically, right. Life has changed and shut down, certainly. But my last thing was my trip to Florida to play golf the first week in March.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, God bless you for getting out there and being able to do that. That's I have a friend who owns a very prestigious restaurant out there, and I guess it's John Rahm or John Rahm from the PGA Tour.
Sure.
I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Yep.
Well, one of his best friends resides down there, and actually I was going to play golf with John Rahm's, one of his friends. He was going to get me on concessions. It was a private course.
Oh, I love that place. I've been fortunate enough to play it. You would have enjoyed that. Yeah. Well, make sure that stays on the calendar for like next year or something.
Another thing, I really am. I work in healthcare full time, so I work for Einstein Medical at their hospital out there in Montgomery on Germantown Avenue. So there's no time off for me between that and self-quarantining at home. I got to tell you, it's been really tough for me.
I bet it has. And thank you so much for being out there on the front line. I applaud all of you guys.
Yeah, it's a little crazy right now, but you know what? We're all going to get through this. We really are.
Thank you, Scott. And hey, if we can help, you want to call any time. And when you do get to take that Florida trip, I want to hear back if you get to play concession.
Absolutely. Well, it was nice talking to you guys.
You as well. We'll compare notes about what you think of. That's a really cool place, I got to tell you. The good old days, right? And absolutely, Scott, you know, working in the hospitals and just seeing all those people who day after day are you know, out there trying to help people who have this virus, and also doing so under stressful conditions because of the number of people, and also, you know, concern about supplies. So that you continue to get up, go do your work, go home, self-quarantine. Yes, we keep you in our thoughts for sure. So we're talking about missed activities. Scott and I share that one in terms of the golf. But what is it for you? And we're also talking about how NFL free agency maybe is different this year than in years past, and how it's possibly been impacted that this crisis is happening. So it becomes, they're making their moves with less judgment from fans. Or do you see it that way? I mean, it's a great concept. And I do see where that is the case. I mean, you're just not going to get whacked out about something you think is not a good move or is a good move in the same way, because there's a little bit more perspective. And in addition to that, I thought something just crossed my phone, Dylan. I thought we knew for sure. Oh, I see what it is. It was saying that the so we know that the NFL draft was not going to have any fans in Vegas for the upcoming draft in April, which is April 23rd through the 25th. But I guess they still thought, or the possibility that they would be doing the draft there. And now there's a report out that that won't be the case, that they're going to do it from a studio, which makes sense. I don't even know why that's real news, because the biggest thing was canceling having people there from an economy standpoint, but also you can't be having crowd gatherings yet or planning them. That's only a month away. There's just no way this is changing drastically between now and the draft. So I just assumed they would be doing it from NFL Network or wherever they choose, whether it's out west or here in New Jersey, but that you would do it from a studio makes sense, right?
Yeah, and you wouldn't be able to fly people, even if you were just going to do it in an empty
And people, even arena. Players aren't going to be there. You're not flying anybody in.
So it might as well just be in the studio, and then you'll just have everyone who gets drafted will just be one of those home shots on a phone.
Or the
Skype. Just,
you know what I'm really nervous about? I mean, it's so far down the list. But if when things go back to normal, every time we interview somebody, it's just Skype, because everybody looks all crushed in the screen and whatnot. I hope we do go back to where we do have people in the same building room or whatnot for interviews when it's safe. Not now. But I hope we don't just say, oh, Skype's easier or FaceTime's easier. And that becomes even teaching. You know, I mean, I've gotten so many emails from different students who are trying to figure it out online, which is, I don't mind the emails at all, because when I first went back to school 2 years ago, this was for my own learning. I was doing it online, and it would drive you crazy if you couldn't get a hold of a professor because you had a question or you didn't understand something. So I totally get it. But I mean, I hope, because I think there's some people who do like the learning in front of people. Like my oldest son, I don't think it would bother him if he had to do online learning for the rest of his school days. he gets up in the morning. He goes to his computer. He looks up his assignments. He does them. Then he like eats breakfast. Then he reads. And then when he's done his assignments, he then goes to play his games. And he's like, this is so much better. Because he obviously enjoys learning, because somebody who gets up and does it without, you know, that keeps his own routine, and he's 14. He, in classroom settings, feels that he sometimes is waiting on the others to finish something, so he's just waiting. And he thinks it's such a... Now, he can do other things, but in terms of the moving forward to learn the next thing, he likes that when you have... He can go to the next thing after he's learned what he has at his own pace. Meanwhile, other people, it's not even they like the interaction with the teacher and students, and they learn better by talking amongst the group. And that's a little more difficult with the online. So that's why I also say with my class that I'm teaching at Rosemont that has now become online in the middle of the semester, those people didn't choose that, and it is not for everybody. I know my sister, and she's a teacher. Online was not, when she went back for her master's, was not what she preferred. And so, you know, everybody has their likes and dislikes. So for the people who are having to do it and it's not very comfortable for them, I try to remember in my head, okay, this isn't easy. Like last night when I went to look at what they had done for this week, my students, I was so excited. I didn't get to read everything yet because I was coming here this morning, but you get excited when they're getting it and it works. And so, hey, maybe there's something you're doing at home that's been altered by our current situation. And maybe you got excited, because I know what I should share with anybody who listened yesterday. Dylan, you might think this is funny. I don't know. My mother saw on sale probably 2 months ago a crock pot, and she bought it for me. And I brought it home right away, and I've never used it. And I never had one in my life anyhow. And yesterday, my husband took it out, and he's like, you know, hey, where'd this come from? And I was like, I don't know. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, my mom got it on sale. So I had my first crock pot meal last night. I cannot believe I've never had a crock pot. The meat is so tender. It's unbelievable. I should have thrown something in there before I came here. I guess I could text home and because I have some stuff in the fridge. It was amazing. And we didn't really even, I know people throw like their potatoes in with the meat and do the whole thing in one. You come home and just boom, it's ready to go. But that was delicious. And I didn't even put any sauce or anything. It was pork. And it just fell off. Like, it was so, oh my gosh, it was so good. So for me, there, I've learned that a crock pot is so worth it. And my mother got it for me on sale. So it's getting put to good use. You ever use a crock pot? Do you cook for yourself?
Yeah, I've been cooking. I've been cooking a lot lately since my parents are always home. And I'm always home at night now. So it's just a lot of cooking, so we each take turns cooking every night.
Oh, that's perfect. Yes, so that was, if anybody has a good, I guess I could go online, crock pot recipes, because you would, I can't, my head doesn't think of what would I throw in there together. That's a good idea, but I might look that up in this commercial break to see if, I know I have a great steak that I want to cook for tonight's dinner for everybody. And last week I made this great marinade. So I could marinate the steak and maybe cook some potatoes or something in the crock pot, like kind of have a stew, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. 610-632-0975. Do you agree with this concept, and Bob Ford wrote about it in the Philadelphia Inquirer, that the NFL free agent movement this past week was done differently, a lot of movement, because teams could do it in the way that they did it, the different quarterbacks moving to different places, even this Eagles signings, letting go of a Malcolm Jenkins, bringing in a Darius Slay, that there was less judgment by moves. And the funny part about the less judgment is because we do have more time on our hands to have these kind of conversations, but because maybe there's more perspective, it's not in the same way that you say, huh, all right, so Tom Brady's not going to be with the Patriots after 20 years, you know, when he goes to the Buccaneers. You know, just not just with the Eagles, but with the whole football movement. 610-632-0975. D-Line, I'm with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. D. Lynam with you until 4 o'clock on this Sunday afternoon. Always looking for good reading and checking out the social media to see if anything of importance. Yeah, not a lot. Obviously, the one thing this week with NFL free agency was it did give you, right before I left yesterday was when, maybe about an hour before, but Will Parks signed. And then shortly after, with the Eagles, I should say. And then shortly after that, the linebacker, Jatavis Brown, was also added. And that was in addition to earlier in the week that Hargrave and Slay had been added. And obviously the biggest move was subtraction by not signing Malcolm Jenkins. And I thought that was another part of the article in today's Philadelphia Inquirer. There was comparing the departure of when the organization chose not to bring Brian Dawkins back. But Brian Dawkins' time served here or played here was 13 years. And he was also, I believe, 3 years older than Malcolm Jenkins at the time they didn't bring him back, which Jenkins is 32. That would have made Dawkins 35 at that point. But there are some similarities. Only the outcry of not having Brian Dawkins was greater. And that started the conversation about, you know, some of that is who the people are and the role on this team or their level of talent, I guess. I mean, we're talking about Dawkins is a Hall of Famer. And again, he played twice as the amount of time here. And, you know, it's a different relationship, but they are respected and revered for not just their play on the field, but their locker room leadership and also their work in the community. And so it brought up the conversation about the just this time and making moves for the NFL, that does it feel different to you? And had it been, quote, a normal free agency period, would it have been done differently? Let's check in with Bill, who's with us in the Northeast. Bill, what's going on? And thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, D, how you doing?
Doing all right.
All right, so I meant to call in because I was like, I wonder how 97.5 is doing without any sports, and I was bored. And I did get an in-depth play-by-play of what's for dinner tonight, which was nice. But also, I'm sorry, I don't have as much time as I want. I just want to say that the Sixers, sadly, are the biggest downslid in Philadelphia sports since the Phillies fell off, and they've made me hate them. And I hope you have a good day. Bye.
Thank you. I'm sorry you got off so quickly. The biggest downside, I mean, they still are on pace to win 50 games if you had an 82-game season. And I guess I should have picked his brain a little about, did he mean when how the Phillies haven't been in the postseason for the last, I mean, because these guys would be in the postseason if the Sixers were playing. The Phillies had, what, that's going back to 2012? I think so. We're in 2020. Yeah, I think it is. So I don't know that I could call this decline the same as being a non-playoff team, that you are disappointed in it has not reached your expectations. I get that. And I appreciate that you are bored and wanted to know how we are surviving here at 97.5. We're doing all right. I thought you were going to talk about the Eagles and their moves that they made this week, but that's all right. Yeah, I mean, the Sixers, obviously, they have two. It's a Jekyll and Hyde. And I said this yesterday. You can be disappointed, but they have the best home record, 29-2. 29-2. So if you are watching or attend at home, I don't know how disappointed you could be, because out of 31 tries people have attended, they saw a winning product. Now their road record is worse than bad at 10 wins and 24 losses. But, you know, they still, at a sixth seed, were set to play Boston in the first round if it had stayed that way. Which would have been entertaining in its own right, and to me would have been a toss-up, because while Boston has played more consistently, Sixers beat them three times this year. So, to say, I really wish you had stayed on the line a little longer, Bill, because your explanation for having them be so drastically bad, comparing them to the Phillies, is an interesting one, and I would have picked your brain on that. Also in today's, because of the, we talked yesterday about the letter that Malcolm Jenkins wrote in the Philadelphia Tribune, which was, I guess it was more about his time spent in Philadelphia and his relationship that developed between him and the community and him and the fans, and how he understands football from a business standpoint, which is what he was involved in when the decision was that they couldn't come to terms in making a new deal for him with the Eagles, that, you know, he was always told, don't let emotions get involved. And his point was, he understands that from the football side of things, but that is not what happened in terms of his becoming part of this Philadelphia, the city and the community, and being involved with the fans themselves. It was a great, great piece. So as a result of that piece, the Inquirer also had today, you know, basically legends who left. And they took each sport. We kind of talked a little about it yesterday, but it's easier when other people do put the names to right in front of you so you can read them. And obviously for the Eagles, the one they highlighted as the biggest was the departure of Reggie White. And for the Phillies, they highlighted the departure of Steve Carlton. The Sixers, obviously Allen Iverson. And then for the Flyers, Eric Lindros. But then at the bottom, they have what they call others, and the list is fairly long of people. Obviously, Brian Dawkins and Malcolm Jenkins are on the Eagles list. LeSean McCoy, Harold Carmichael, Trent Cole, Donovan McNabb, Tommy McDonald. Oh, that was a great play. If that opportunity comes this year to go see the Tommy McDonald play, it was down on Delaware. No, is that what they call it? They call it Columbus Ave, I guess, now. Anyhow, the departure of Tommy McDonald, which I had never learned that he went then to the Dallas Cowboys. Wilbert Montgomery, Jason Peters, likely they right next to him. John Runyon, Trey Thomas, our own Trey Thomas. Andre Waters, Brian Westbrook, and Nick Foles. Oh, and the Nick Foles was an interesting one, because he was part of the article about the movement of players and how he had signed last year with the Jacksonville for 4 years, played in only four games, then gets traded to the Bears, making five times the amount that, I didn't check the numbers to see if that's actually true, but five times with Trubisky, who is listed as the starting quarterback. And I thought to myself, it's unbelievable that twice now, as a backup. Now, we don't know that he's the backup. I mean, you would play for that, I assume, to be the starter there. But that would be two of the greatest backup roles a quarterback could have in playing in his NFL career. First being here as the backup and having the two runs that he did, and then going there. No, I mean, we're saying, I don't know what will happen, but pretty well done. And the other thing was that they gave up a fourth round compensatory pick to get a quarterback that was MVP of the Super Bowl. And that's what the price was, which was also kind of fascinating to just look at and read. And again, it was one of the moves in this week of a lot of NFL movement, and some of it was unusual. And that one would qualify as well. All right, so we'll talk about breakups. That's not a bad idea. And I also have a thought on the other side. I thought today, because we talk about what you could read from a sports standpoint, what you could watch. We had a lot of good YouTubers yesterday who offered some good things that you could search and find on YouTube to watch from a sports perspective. But I thought to myself, after those things, if you were putting together a sports music playlist, what songs would take you to, like, remembering or being, for instance, automatically I had to have Take Me Out to the Ball Game in there, because then you could envision being in the seventh inning stretch. So what would we put on our playlist that would, like, remind you of sporting events? And maybe you could even picture when it's playing and why. 610-632-0975. We'll move into the 1 o'clock hour on the other side. Dylan McKinnon's behind the glass. D-Line, I'm here on the mic. And we'll hope you join us for our conversation here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.